Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 61.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 61. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for being here. I'm in a great mood right now. I don't know why. I think it's the weather. Some of those days, you know, you just feel on top of the world. You know, you're pumped, you're excited for life, and that's how I feel. So thank you for being here. We're affiliated with the website jazzpianoschool.com. You can go there to check out. We have a lot of free material, obviously, including this podcast, blog, and the main course is on there for community members, which I created, which you can go check out as well. So I'm very excited for this podcast episode. This episode is going to be on 10 characteristics that Oscar Peterson uses, and you can use as well to really kind of gain the flavors and spices of his playing. So when I grew up, I loved Oscar Peterson. The very first album, for a lot of you who've heard my story, the very first jazz album I heard, I studied classical for a long time. The very first jazz album I heard was Itzhak Perlman, a great violinist, mainly classical, but he did a jazz album with Oscar Peterson, and it's called Side by Side. And I heard that album. My parents had it for some reason when I was a little kid. My dad had it because my dad plays violin in the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and he had that album. And so I heard Oscar playing on that, and they were playing jazz, and I was like, oh my God, goodness. Like, I hadn't found a jazz sound that I enjoyed. I was too young, like my ear was very obviously new. It was amateured. I mean, it hadn't gotten accustomed to sounds like Coltrane or McCoy. So when I heard that type of jazz, even some Bill Evans stuff, it was just a little too out for me. It wasn't like the jazz sound that I was looking for. And so when I found this album with Oscar, I was like, oh my God, that's it. It's like, it really hit home with me for some reason. It was just his driving force, his elegance, his textures, his beauty, his flawless technique, his sound. Everything was so in the pocket. And to this day, I love Oscar. I think he's just simply amazing, just one of a kind. And his trio is phenomenal, one of the best trios that I've ever heard. So needless to say, I studied him a lot. I played a lot of his transcriptions. I worked on a lot of his, just listened to him all the time. So I really have a good feel for what he does over a lot of other pianists. And some people do that with other pianists. You know, you grew up listening to McCoy. McCoy is all you play. So you can pretty much play their style, right? Or maybe Errol Garner or Bill Evans. Some people just sound like those people when they're playing. Now, I don't necessarily sound like Oscar when I play. Some of my stuff does, definitely. But there's times when, obviously, when I want to mimic his style, I can do it pretty closely. And not to say that I am Oscar Peterson. I'm far from being able to do what he does in many, many different ways. But there's certain things that he does that can, you know, the characteristics of his playing that you can add to your playing, and they're just great, great tools, you know, great tools to have in your tool bag. So I'm gonna be going over that today. We're gonna get into those right now. I have them all written out, like all the other podcasts. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast61 and download the notation for these, I don't wanna say licks, because there's different strategies for these strategies. And it'll show you the notation, and you can read them and implement them into your practice routines. You can also text the word download 61 to 44222, and you will receive the podcast practice materials on the Oscar Peterson, these 10 Oscar Peterson textures, okay, with some notes, right, to just remember how to do them. So the first one, I'm going to be demonstrating over a blues. Oscar loved to play blueses. He has a very bluesy feel because of this first texture. And what he likes to use a lot, I forgot to mention one thing. We're creating our first specialty course. That's going to be the solo piano system. But one of the specialty courses we're going to come out with next year, we're going to come out with this solo piano system, which is going to be coming out hopefully by the end of the year, maybe in January at the latest of next year. I'll let you guys all know when that's coming out. It's going to be phenomenal. Our next specialty course after that will be accompanying singers, so details and in videos on accompanying singers. I have a great singer in the Bay Area who I'm going to do. I played at SF Jazz with her. I'm going to have her do the video instruction with me, which is going to be great. Her singing is phenomenal. And then the next one after that, I believe, will be comping, and then we're going to release the Oscar Peterson style next year. So it's going to have more on all of this and a lot of the textures that he uses. So I just want to let you guys know about that. But anyway, here we go. The main scale or sound that Oscar loves to use, is a bluesy scale, but with one is the blues scale, but with one change. So he uses a blues scale, but he has the sixth, the major sixth at the end instead of the dominant seven. So if I were to play a C blues scale, it would be this, right? But instead of this flat seven at the end, he changes that to an A. Okay? And so by doing that, you have this more minor blues sound up front and then kind of a major-y blues sound at the end, which I like to name his scale the minor major blues scale. So you have minor and then major at the end. So again, an F. Very, very awesome scale because you get that minor in the beginning and then the major sound is just really a nice sound to use instead of that dominant seven, but he does use the dominant seven as well. So the first thing is that he uses this scale to solo with a lot, okay? So I'm gonna give you a sample of that. I got the iReal Pro queued up here on my Bose wireless speaker, and actually we're gonna be integrating the iReal Pro backup tracks into JPS soon, so that's gonna be very, very exciting. But here I have a blues. I'm going to be demonstrating all these with a blues. Oscar loved to play blueses. And this is on 2/10. Okay, so I'm going to demonstrate the use of that scale, then I'm going to get into more fine details. Here we go. So that was a little demonstration of the minor major blues scale, and obviously you could probably hear the quality. Well, if you've listened to Oscar, you could hear the quality was very similar just with the use of that scale. So that's one way you can really take a lot from that scale, is just, you know, just the use of using that, changing your flat seven to the flat six. Now if you see there, I use the flat seven, which is okay, but you putting that six in there is very crucial to get that sound that he uses. So that's number one. Number two, I'm gonna go into more fine details that he uses with the scale now. So if you might have seen, one of the things that he likes to do a lot is this combination of a fifth here, and basically what happens is the top note stays the same, but the bottom note is going to pivot between some of the other notes. Now again, this G is not in the scale. There's notes he uses that aren't in the scale, which is obviously okay. And you can add these notes in as well, but again, the majority of all of his playing comes from that scale, but he has some extra notes in here as well. But here is this fifth that he likes to use. And he likes to pivot with this different rhythm, right? It's kind of a trill. So he puts the fifth on top, the D, and pivots in different ways. So just like you saw, you can do this. And without the D on here, it's... So I'm hitting the D and the G first, and then last. He also does this. And then we'll continue down, right? Right? Stuff like that. So any combination you can think of with this D on top, I'll get into that in a second. But it's just this combination of these three notes, right? the F, the 1, the 2, and the flat 3, and then the D on top. You can do it however you want, right? A lot of different combinations. That's a very crucial sound that he uses a lot, okay? So that's number two. Some of these I'll demonstrate more with the track. You don't really need to hear that. It's more of a specific lick that he uses. Now the sixth also, instead of pivoting between these notes, now he'll pivot between the flat three, the four, and the sharp four, again in the key of F. The D is always on top, right? And you can start from the one if you want. Right, so. Now here, this stuff is very tricky, guys, right? So what I'm doing here is sliding my third up, right, if you're watching the video. So I'm sliding my third up, two, one, three, two. See, I finished the line off with the, okay? So again, number three is gonna be a pivot from the D on top with the flat three, the four, the sharp four. And there's lots of different ways, just like the second one. You can use the combination of those in so many different ways, which he does. Different rhythms, different movements, different trills, right? So let me demonstrate actually the combination of both of those because that's pretty fun. Here we go. Oops, why isn't it playing? Oh, there we go. Here we go. Okay, so again, just kind of combining both of those. You can use one, you can use the other. Those are really fun. Number four is going to be an approach to certain notes in a certain way. So he likes to use this one approach, which is really nice. He obviously uses a lot of bebop approaches, right? Which I've kind of covered in previous episodes talking about approach notes, all right? But this one approach that really makes him stand out because he uses it a lot. And rhythmically, it's really fun to play. And I'll do it for the one. Basically what he does is he takes a whole step below the note. He goes to a half step below the note. He goes to a whole step below the note. Whole step above the note, whole step, okay, Brendan Lowe, slow down. There's so many approach notes in this approach that I need to speak very slowly. So let me play it for you first. That's the approach. And it's a really nice approach because it's just rhythmically. Okay, so again, whole step below, here we go, I'll try this for a second time. Half step below, whole step above, half step below, to the chord tone. Right, on the one chord, like the F, or any of the chords in the blues really, you can go to the one and the five, it sounds good, for kind of the dominant chords. And then continue down or up, however you want. Right? Sorry. Or you can go down. So again, it's that rhythm with that approach note. He likes to do it on the third, again, to minor chords. So to the G minor, it's a really nice thing to do. Or any minor chords, you approach the third. So again. All right? And he likes to add that on specifically to the minor chord. So if you're going to a G minor 7, he'll approach the third. He'll jump down to the 5, 7, 9, 1. And that's how you'll approach the basically the root of the chord. You can do it on dominant chords too as well. but instead of approaching the third, you would approach the seven. So on an F7, you'd approach the seven, and then resolve down to the five. And then you could resolve to the third if you want. Or you could go into the blues scale, right? So for all the dominant chords, you're going to use that approach to the five, excuse me, to the seven. So seven approach, nine, four, six, or 13, five. Now on that approach, on the end to the dominant chord, you can also go to the sharp 11 or the half step below the fifth. So again, on the F, where are we going? To the seventh. So there's with the sharp 11, the half step below, and here's with the whole step below. So it's just a slight tweak in the sound, okay? So again, with that, let me demonstrate that approach now and how he uses that approach in a blues. Here we go. This is a pretty fast tempo, 210. I have this, whoops. I don't know why it keeps doing that. All right, this is on 210. Sorry. Okay, so again, you get the picture. I was kind of trying to add in a lot of them. There's different ways you can lead up to that, and I'm going to show you in this next. So that's number four. Now, number five is a chromatic attack. And he likes to use these chromatic attacks, and it's a really nice thing because you can use this chromatic attack to any note, and it's really fun. So basically, all you're doing is creating a chromatic line. So I think it's triplets. It's so fast sometimes. Yeah, triplets, right? But again, you can resolve it in the triplet wherever you want. If you want, you just kind of, what happens on the ends of these is that he'll either speed it up or slow it down based on what note he wants to get to. So let's say I want to get to the C on beat three. I would play, right? One, two, three. You know, and again, depending upon how quickly I start it or where I start it. If I start an octave, I have to go really fast. Right, so I probably wouldn't start that, you know, too soon. And again, these are just spontaneous, so he's not planning these out really. He's just kind of feeling it. You know, or sorry, it should have been the B flat there. So do you see that? So he approaches that whatever note he's attacking with that chromatic attack, and it gives such a nice kind of just rhythmic feel. Again, Oscar's playing is very rhythmic. He's thinking, and his lines are very like a drummer, right? Like Ed Thigpen, the drummer he played with for a while, his brushwork was amazing. And Oscar's playing fits so well with that because of the rhythmic notes and so many different rhythmic characteristics he was using in his playing. So this is really nice. I keep starting on C. You can start anywhere, right? You can approach the, again, this takes a lot of, there's a reason here, guys, that Oscar Peterson technically is phenomenal because of some of these things. I mean, these are not easy, right? So take what you can from these. But that's a chromatic attack. Now, as I was saying before, you can use use the approach at the end of this. So if you attack your that full approach, if you proceed it with the chromatic thing, it sounds really good, right? So you kind of use that chromatic to get into the approach. It sounds awesome. Right, so you got that little chromatic, and again, you can add it anywhere. It can be, you can do a whole octave, you can do two octaves, right? As long as you want it to be, right? Now, I'm playing at 210. If you're playing, you know, Oscar's style at certain tempos really comes out. So if he's playing more of a slow, right? He probably wouldn't have that texture in a medium swing. It's really when stuff is driving he uses some of these, mostly just this one, more of a faster tempo, but that's number five. Number six is gonna be this arpeggio he loves to use over dominant chords. And this is gonna be, so example, over the five chord at the end, it's gonna be one, sharp nine, flat 13, one. That's the arpeggio. And he goes up two octaves usually and comes back down. So you'd have the two chord. And again, it can be over any dominant chord. He likes to combine them too. So you might do it over the G. Right, so you have the G arpeggio. And again, this is not easy. I mean, practice it slowly, right? Or the G. Something like that. That's really nice. I've actually... So going from the... That's very technically difficult. But sharp 9 to flat 13 arpeggio. Again, a very nice thing he likes to do over the dominant chord. Now the hold, I call this next one number seven, the hold. We got 7, 8, 9, 10 left. The hold is a very, very nice characteristic. Oh, I just love it. And it's very simple, but it adds so much. And you really don't hear too many people do this, actually. It's just a nice, really kind of small characteristic. And what it is when you're playing eighth note lines, you're gonna go up to a note and just stay there, right? It sounds like you're gonna continue, but you stay there. So let me give you an example. So. So you just, right when I got to that note. Right, so you just stop on a note and hold it. And it's usually one of these blues notes, right? He likes to stop on the A flat, or excuse me, the minor third in a blues scale, the minor seventh in a blues scale he likes to use. Or the sharp four in the blues scale, right? So he might go. Right, so he just kind of stops on that. Such an awesome, awesome characteristic. I love it because it just leaves you hanging and you're like, oh, right when he stops on that. It's so awesome, I love it. Here's a demonstration with the track. Okay, so again, it's just a little stop, and again, this works with all tempos. So if you're swinging about here, right, it's really nice to do 1, 2, 3, 4. So that works. You can stop on those notes. It works really, really nicely. And again, the trick with this is he stops on the blues notes. If you just stop on like a D, it still sounds great, but again, it's with those tension-based notes that's gonna sound really, really cool. So that's number seven, the hold. Now, number eight actually has to do with his left-hand comping, and especially in blueses, and even in standards. Okay, a lot of the standards, the reason he sounds like he does is because he's changing the quality of the chord in his left hand, mainly with the 3, the 6, and the 2, and the 5. So I actually didn't have a standard planned. I'm trying to think of a standard right now. I can show this to you. But I'll show you in the blues first. So in the blues, in a jazz blues, normally a 3 and a 6 and the 2 and the 5, the 3 and the 2 are normally minor chords, right? So you would play a blues, 4 chord, 1, A minor, D7, G minor, 5, 1. What Oscar does is he likes to play the shells in a voice leading progression, and he will make every chord dominant. So he'll get to the 3 chord early and make it a dominant chord. So it's really, that dominant chord is just, it's so bluesy as opposed to the minor chord, which is more of a kind of jazz sound, right? Traditional jazz sound instead of a blues sound. So his chords will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, right? Four chord, four, two, three, four. Now he'll go to the 3, 2, 3, so full measure of the 3 instead of the 1. So he has full measures instead of just 2 beats per chord of this dominant chord, the A7, going to the D7, going to the G7 full chord, C7, and then he'll do it again. Okay, let me play that for you slowly with my right hand. I'm gonna slow down the time here so you can get a better sense of this. So here's from the top, okay? Listen for those chords. Oops. I'll do it one more time. Now, it's not all the time that he'll put a full measure, but he loves to do dominant chords. So he might, from the 4 chord, he might go 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, A, D, G. So sometimes he'll do a full measure, sometimes he doesn't, but just the use of your dominant chords here makes it so much grittier. It's just such a more of a dirty feeling than using your minor. It's more neutral, it's kind of, you know, there's less tension in your minor. It's not a dominant chord. Your dominant has that tritone, right? Okay. Now, so that's number 8. I would highly recommend that. That's really fun. Number 9 is going to be your triplet arpeggio. So he loves to use arpeggios in any form. You can use any notes you want. And they're gonna be triplets. So you're using 3 notes to your arpeggio. So over the F7, basically you can pick notes. So I could go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And he'll stop on any beat, really. 1, 2, 3. Right? So 1. So it could be, you know, whatever you want. It could be this. He likes to do evenly based arpeggios, so he probably wouldn't do that. But again, really anything you want, you could do, let me see. That's pretty difficult. But again, what I like to do actually here, what I've been using, what he does I think a lot too as well, is the 3rd, 3, 5, 7. So you're just outlining the chord. And then you land on the 9 up top. And it's just a nice way to break things up, obviously, if you're playing your 8th notes. You kind of cover this nice range that really goes up to the top or moves you back and forth between different registers, which is a really nice sound on your ear. When you stay in run register, when you're soloing, it kind of gets really bland and monotonous. That's why using these different movement techniques that Oscar uses are really awesome with his feel too. And that rhythm, right, with that kind of triplet feel, really takes away or it contrasts the 8th note feel, which is awesome. Okay, so as I'm teaching these, I'm thinking like, oh my God, there are some others that are great as well that I might add on here just spontaneously. So that's number 9. That's the triplet arpeggio. Now, let me just add on some other ones I didn't have planned actually because they're really nice. You know how we started number 2 and number 3? We had the pivots between this D. Right, so the D stays on top. We can pivot between the 1, 2, and 3, and the 3, the 4, and the sharp 4. Now, also what he likes to do is pivot with the F on top. And basically, he's pivoting with the F on top around the any of the blues note scales. So you can go. So the F stays on top the entire time. You could do the. He likes to do that. Now, again, technically, guys, this is very difficult. It's hard on the hand. He had monstrous hands, right? I have pretty big paws as well, right? So this is hard. You know, keeping that F on top and going, you know, this, I'm reaching right now basically a major sixth here from my A flat to my F with my pinky and my index finger. Okay, then going to my three, then three or two, excuse me, three, three. So I'm going from three to three on both notes, and then you can go up here as you wish. Yeah, I have that little slide there. Right, so all that combination of those kind of pivots and slides and notes that stay on top, loves to absolutely use here. All right, I have to keep track of these because I'm adding new ones here. So that was the, I gotta write this down, guys. Sorry, hold on one second. So that was the F pivot. This way I can add it to the practice material that you can download. That way you can have that one as well. All right, so I'm gonna do one more. So this is gonna make it 11, actually. The 11 is gonna be a solo piano style strategy, actually, which is in the course as well, the new specialty course we're gonna be releasing. And so this is gonna be a bass note texture that Oscar loves to use. I'm sure you've heard it. He uses his intros, outros on the solo piano stuff. And basically he's using low, low, low end bass notes. And I'm gonna demonstrate here in this octave, but he uses the octave below. My camera angle cannot move out that far. So I'm gonna demonstrate here with my right hand. So basically his left hand's doing this kind of broken bass note combination. Now he's not just going one, two, 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 two. He's not walking bass. It's kind of all over the place. I don't really know how to describe it. So I apologize, but it's just this broken, so he'll be like one, two, three. So he's got these different rhythms like, so basically like these dotted quarter note rhythms that kind of lead into the bass notes mixed with some quarter note triplets, right? So it's not even by any means, okay? But he's still using simple bass note walking techniques, which means he's just using surrounding approach notes to get to his bass notes. But it's okay, you don't even have to worry much about the rhythm. It's mainly the texture. So I just demonstrated up here. He uses the lowest possible end on the piano, which is such a great texture. I still don't hear many people use when playing solo piano. And I love to hear people use the entire piano because you have all 88 keys. And Oscar does that. So he's playing down here while his right hand's soloing. And the great thing about this is that your right hand now has all this room, even down here in this low end to solo with, and it creates this amazing texture. Most people only solo from basically middle C and up. I hardly ever hear people use their right hand. And Eric Reed, the teacher I studied with, he would solo in this low end too on some of his earlier albums that I heard. But it's such a great texture to solo down here. So this is what it sounds like, right? So I'm playing a blues solo piano style because you don't want to interfere with a bass when they're driving away, they're swinging away, right? This would just be by yourself. Here we go. One, two, one, two, three, four. That's where like Ed Thigpen and Ray Brown would come in just swinging their butts off, right? Ba-doom, doom, doom, doom. And then he moves up to this octave here. And then they're all just driving away. And it's just, I'm just like, oh, it's so good. So that texture, that's the texture right there. I think on Perdido, let me see. He uses uses that texture in the beginning of Perdido. You can listen to if you want to on his solo piano, Oscar's solo piano album. And I always remembered I transcribed this bridge that he played that's just awesome. I don't think he does that actually. He does this, there's so many textures that he uses. That's another one, the whole tone triplet thing he does. So he's just moving up the whole tone scale here. This is another bonus for you guys. This won't be in the, well, maybe I could put it in. So he's just moving up the whole tone thing. But anyway, on Perdido, right, he's playing the melody down here. And then when he goes into a solo, he stays down there in that register in the, you know, in the key of B flat. It sounds phenomenal. So that's just a phenomenal technique. So just to review here, guys, we got the minor major blues scale, number one. We got the sixth on top with 1-2 and flat three. Right, we got the sixth on top with flat three, flat four, sharp four. We got our approach notes to the one and the five. We can also do it to the minor third on a minor chord. And then he adds the, right, if I were to do that on a dominant chord, if I wanted to add that little extra part in, I would approach the seven. If I approach the one, it doesn't fit right. So you would approach the sevens on dominant chords, with the extra line added in, right? Or if you're just doing the one and the five, you just use the approach. Okay, we have the chromatic attack. You can add on the approach at the end, right? If you want. So we got our chromatic attack. We got our sharp nine, flat 13 arpeggio. Okay, that's just, some of the stuff he plays just makes me laugh because it's like, oh my goodness, you are just a monster. we got the hold, all right. I gotta count myself off here. One, two, one, two, three, four. All right, so moving up to your holds there. We got our dominance in our left hand, so the ace, specifically on the 3-6-2-5 to any standard, right? So I was trying to think of a standard before. If you have a standard, right, a lot of standards end in a 3-6-2-5, but they'll be, again, they'll be minor third, because that's diatonic harmony. There'll be a minor third going to the dominant, minor third going to a dominant. So if you use the dominant third, dominant six, like secondary dominants, all going down, you're gonna have this blues sound that's just like you can dig in, right? And depending upon the style you're looking for, it won't fit, but again, it's just something you can do. Nine was a triplet arpeggio, right, that I suggested using 3-5-7, and then you can end on the nine up at the top, right? Stuff like that. So that's the triplet arpeggio. Now I added one in here, and that was going to be the F pivot on top. Right, so I kind of moved down here, pivoting with the five and the six at the end. So that was the pivot, the F pivot on top with the blues scale. Then 11 was the bass note strategy with the low end bass and your right hand playing either the melody or just soloing up here. You can solo if you want as well. Using that bass note strategy. So, let me see, that is it. There was something I thought of that I couldn't remember. Yeah, so that's it. Sorry, I don't know, I left my mind, I was gonna say something. But, so again, you can download all of these textures at jazzpianoschool.com/podcast61. You can also text, if you're listening to this in the car, You can text the word download 61 to the number 44222, and then put your email in. You'll also receive those textures for this. So I hope this was fun. I really enjoyed this. I love Oscar. I can never get enough of him. And again, he has so many textures that are phenomenal that he uses. This is more of his driving blues textures that he uses kind of in upbeat tunes, and especially on his fast stuff as well. So Enjoy that. I will see you in the next episode. And until then, happy practicing.